All right, did you know? The oldest organized sport in North America is...
Disc golf?
Were people upset with us yesterday? I mean, I said I would play disc golf.
To be honest, I didn't. They were more upset that I said I would like to watch a pug get hit in the face by a frisbee.
Did Craig Elston approach you at all today?
No, he did not. He did not.
All right.
I told him, I said it on the air, I was joking. I don't want a dog to be hurt.
You were joking that
I would.
You were joking
laugh.
That you thought it was funny that Craig Elson's pug got hit in the head with a frisbee.
Yes.
During a round of frisbee golf.
Yes. Would I look away as the pug was getting hit in the head? No, I wouldn't.
Oh, no. You'd want to see this.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to miss it. The oldest organized sport in North America, apparently, with their origins going back to as early as the 12th century. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Wait, 12th century?
Yeah.
So we're talking about the 1100s?
The 1100s, yes. That sport is lacrosse. Anyway, I tell you that because right now you have a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to Saturday's San Diego Seals lacrosse game. They're taking on the Toronto Rock. Tickets are on sale now at SealsLAX.com/tickets. When are we going to get a Seals player on the show?
I can.
You know, we've had some of those guys on before.
Yeah. We have.
I mean, the Seals are a contending team in a league, the lacrosse league that they play in is the highest level in the country. Right? They're not a minor league team. They're a
I think they're a little bit different because they're indoor lacrosse. Like they're.
I know.
For lack of a better term, I don't want to say arena lacrosse, but that's what.
No, but for the indoor lacrosse league, that's the top league in the country.
I've been to a couple games, and they're really fun. Like, I don't understand how these guys are able to catch the ball with their lacrosse stick.
Yeah, well,
I've tried many times.
I don't know if you're aware of it, but anybody who plays lacrosse just walks around all day long with a lacrosse ball in the netting of their stick and just practices controlling
it. Yeah, I've seen that too. In high school, we had a really good lacrosse team, and those guys would just carry it around school.
Yeah, all day long. The National Lacrosse League. That's what they're in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but there is like a major league lacrosse too, but that's different. I know what you're saying. I'm confusing things over here.
I'm looking at the 2023-24 standings, and apparently the Toronto Rock that are coming in here Saturday night are on top of the league at 8-2. The Seals are just a game behind.
Oh, this is a huge game.
This is a big game.
This is a huge game.
You're going to want these tickets. Let's give them away to the seventh caller. Since the Seals have 7 wins.
Okay, good.
This
all right.
Year.
At least you had a reason behind it.
I do. 833-288-0973. Call in to win those tickets. Scraby's going to be a little busy during this segment as well, handling the Daily Gambit. So stick with it on your phone calls. We will get a winner, and you'll get a chance to go see the Seals and the Rock.
The Rock.
On Saturday night. All right. I don't know what the odds are on that match, but we do have a Daily Gambit to get to.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. We have some bets to review. We also have, I have a couple bets, and then I'm sure Chris has a couple bets as well. Let's start with the Aztecs women's game last night. New Mexico, 3.5-point favorites. The Aztecs women, both Chris and I chose them, getting the points. And we did win our bet, but the Aztecs lost the game. New Mexico won 66-63, so they just covered for us.
The Aztecs got the win for the bettors. This was just a real quick note.
Yeah.
Because this is how life is playing in the pit at Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
New Mexico shot 34 free throws. The Aztecs shot 12.
Okay, you sent me a text last night, and I had to read that 3 times because I thought that was a typo.
It wasn't.
I don't want to blame the refs.
No, either did Stacey Terry Hudson. She didn't want to blame the refs either, but...
That's a huge disparity.
Yeah. That shouldn't happen. 34-12. No wonder New Mexico won the game, and they only won by three.
How many free throws did they make?
They made 28. Give them credit for making their
free throws. Making 28, getting 28 points off of free throws already gives you a lot.
That's a huge advantage.
Yeah, huge advantage.
That's the home court. But there was an interesting finish to the game for the bettors. And I was thinking of it as I was calling the end of the game.
Really?
Yes, because the Aztecs were down 3 points. New Mexico actually had the ball with 5 seconds left, getting ready to inbound. And obviously the strategy for the Aztecs would be to foul, which would have put New Mexico on the free throw line again.
Yeah.
They could have gotten a bigger lead than three. They could have won by four, maybe five, and beaten the spread. But the Aztecs stole the inbound pass and actually had a chance to tie it. But the best they could do was a half-court shot.
Okay.
And it bounced off the rim, and New Mexico held on to win by three. But the Aztecs won the bet.
Were you secretly excited that they won the bet?
I wasn't. I was disappointed for the kids. They played a really, really good game last night. Just came up a little short. But, 34 free throws to 12. Life on the road in college basketball. All right, go ahead.
That's crazy.
That really is.
Louisville and Duke last night. Duke, 20.5-point favorites. Kyle Filipowski played last night. And Duke, Chris and I both took them. They did win 84-59, so handily 25 points.
They covered.
Yes, very.
Yeah.
Well, not very easily, but
easy enough. Right.
Well, jinx. Providence at Marquette last night. Marquette, 11.5-point favorites. Chris and I went with the Friars because we are all about them.
Yeah.
Marquette wins 91-69. So
we were about the Friars because we thought that they should be allowed to be called the Padres.
Yes, that's right.
Since the Padres like to call themselves the Friars.
So we bet with our heart and not with our head
again. It cost us. Don't do that.
The Lakers and the Clippers last night. Clippers were 3.5-point favorites in this one. Now, I woke up to a bunch of push notifications about the greatness of LeBron James. And so they were, with 11:45 left in the fourth quarter, the Lakers trailed the Clippers 98-77. LeBron took over, scoring 19 in the fourth quarter, including 5 threes to get the win for the Lakers, 116-112. We chose the Clippers, so we lost that one.
Yeah, we're up 21 in the fourth quarter. We're feeling pretty good, but LeBron James had none of it. And this turned out to be the greatest fourth quarter comeback of LeBron James's career.
Whoa.
That's saying something, because he's been around
a lot
of
games.
Yeah, 21-point deficit. By the way, LeBron James, he still amazes me. What is he, 38?
He's 39 because he's a year older than me.
It's incredible that he's able to still come up with these performances. Now, he can't do this night after night anymore, but he's still got it in him to do this. I know Jordan's going to always be the greatest, and you'll never be able to change my mind because I'm a Bulls fan. But LeBron is, whether you like him or not, and I know you don't like him.
Will you stop putting words in my mouth?
No, you don't like him. It's not
that I don't like him. It was more fun to anger Tony because I was saying those things about him.
You know, like him or not, I mean, this guy is really, if he's not the best, because he's so amazingly good.
I've actually saw some people, I can't remember where it was, but it was one of those ESPN shows, but they were arguing about how dumb it is to have these debates about who's better, Michael Jordan or LeBron James. I'm kind of with them. You can't really compare
them. It doesn't really matter. They can both be great. That's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
what do you have for tonight?
Yes, this hour brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, everyone. Now, my Dons are playing Gonzaga tonight. Gonzaga, the 23rd ranked team in the country. Dons are at home, so they are getting 4 points. The Zags are favored by four. I will go first, and I will take my Dons.
Of course you will. This, to me, is an example of how far Gonzaga has fallen. I know they're ranked 23rd, but if you look at the bracketologist, they have Gonzaga is the last team into the tournament.
I've seen that, yeah.
They cannot afford to lose this game. But they're playing USF, and they're only favored by four. I mean, that's Gonzaga. I'm taking USF also.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Let's go, USF. Let's go, Dons.
It wouldn't break my heart to see Gonzaga knocked out of the tournament.
One of my favorite tournament moments outside of everything last year was the couple years ago when the Dons were in the tournament for the first time.
That was
since
a hell of a game.
School. It was.
Who did they play?
I can't remember.
No, it was Murray State.
And it was like...
It was an unbelievable game.
Was it overtime?
Double overtime,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, Dons played a hell of a game.
All right, so we both take the Dons there. Now, the Lakers are playing again tonight, but they're playing against the Wizards. I made this, or put this bet in there this morning, so I'm not sure if LeBron's playing. But his over-under for points, rebounds, and assists is 40.5.
Okay.
Wizards are really bad. I think they won only 9 games. LeBron, I'm not sure what his stats look like on back-to-back nights. And so what I'm thinking here, Chris, is that he's going to go under because he's not going to play as much.
And it's a second of back-to-back.
Yep.
And last night, he probably used every bit of energy he has to win that game. You're right about the Wizards. They're 9-49. That's unbelievably
bad. How do you go
bad.
To work and, like, feel good about it?
I don't know. But Kyle Kuzma was offered to be traded and said no. He wanted to stay there.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with your thinking.
All right.
I'm going to go under as well. 40.5 for LeBron.
We have not disagreed on a bet in 2 days.
I'm going to say this about LeBron again. Do you know his streak now of double-figure games is over 1,200?
That is wild.
1,200 games scoring in double figures. It goes back like 19 years.
Wow.
Since he last had a single-digit scoring game. The next highest streak in the NBA is like 130.
I mean, no one
by Joel
that.
Embiid.
That's crazy.
LeBron's at 1,200 and counting.
Wow.
All right, I got Utah -8 at home against Stanford. Can't tell you a whole lot about either of these Pac-12 schools.
Utah -8 at home against Stanford.
The only thing I can tell you is that Utah is going to the Big 12 next year, and Stanford, stupidly, is going to the ACC. So they better enjoy their trip to Utah tonight, because next year their games are going to be like in North Carolina.
Yeah, the Carolinas.
Crazy.
Are you up first on this one?
All right, I'll go first.
All right.
I don't know. It's at altitude. I'll take Utah.
All right, I'm going to go Stanford.
You can have
just
Stanford.
Just to disagree.
All right, then we get a couple of local games. USD is at Loyola Marymount tonight. The Toreros are getting 8. Loyola Marymount, the Lions are favored by 8 over the USD Toreros. The Toreros...
I thought the Toreros were better than... I thought the Loyola Marymount was worse than an 8-point spread, and USD was better than an 8-point spread.
Well, then pick USD.
I'm going to.
You know?
What do you think?
I'm going to take the Toreros there.
All right.
Get the 8. 8.5, actually.
8.5 is given, great.
As Scott Van Pelt says all the time, you're getting 8 and the hook. That is the reference to a half a point. Toreros are 6-8. Loyola's 4-10.
In conference?
Yeah. So why is Loyola favored by so much?
USD, do they not play well on the road? I think
they're 4-6 on the road, which isn't awful.
No.
Loyola's 7-8 at home.
I don't know either.
I mean, I'm not doing a lot of research, but this looks like a USD to me as well. 8.5. I'll take it. Final game on the board, UC San Diego Tritons taking on Cal State Bakersfield tonight. It's in Bakersfield. Tritons are favored by 6. I'm going to tell you something. The Tritons are having a great season. Not only did they almost beat the Aztecs this year, they are currently tied for first place in the Big West Conference.
And they're going to get shut out of the tournament.
And they can't go to the NCAA tournament. This is so stupid. And I'm not just saying that because it's going to, you know, affect UCSD. I've said it before on other schools.
James Madison in football this year.
Why do you have to? What do you have to wait for? What is even the reasoning for it? You have become a Division I school. You're playing at that level. If you win, why shouldn't you be able to advance to the tournament? The NCAA has a lot of stupid rules. This is one of them.
Well, it probably has to do with money of some sort.
What money of some sort?
I don't know. There's money involved as to why they can't do it. Maybe they don't want to pay that school or something. I don't know. This is a
UCSD should be eligible. They're tied with UC Irvine for the lead. And they're not eligible to go to the NCAAs. Just idiotic.
You know what? Whoever
NCAA.
Wins the tournament this year, it's an asterisk.
Because UCSD won't be in it?
Exactly. Just like Taylor Gooch said about Rory McIlroy.
Yes, national champion, UConn, second year
Who
in a
cares?
Row. But this one comes with an asterisk.
It does. UCSD not in there. I'm going to go UCSD.
Yeah. It would look bad if I took Cal State Bakersfield.
No, it wouldn't.
All right, I'll take them just to have some fun.
What's their mascot?
The Roadrunners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
They play on a really ugly... We played there one time, the women's team.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an ugly blue floor with yellow foul lines.
Ugh.
It's hideous, basically.
I'm looking for it right now.
Yeah, take a look for the Cal State Bakersfield floor, if it's the same as it was a couple years ago.
Right?
It's fully blue, right? From end to end.
So the inside is like regular basketball court color, and then the entire rest of the court is navy blue. That is weird.
Disgusting.
Disgusting, Chris says.
Just for that, I'll still take Bakersfield.
Ugh.
All right, there you go. Our picks for today. We'll take a quick timeout. Scraby will give away the winner of the lacrosse tickets. So. And then we'll come back. Much more Gwen and Chris. 30 Mile Zone is around the corner. Don't go too far. Traffic, Gwen and Chris. Nate, nicely done. On the phone call there, Nate dialed in at the proper time to win the four-pack of tickets to see the Seals and the Rock. Battle for first place in the NLL Saturday night.
Very excited, too. You know, one of my favorite things is when someone wins tickets and they're, like, super excited about it.
Yes. There's something that it's not the biggest deal in the world to us.
No.
But when you win tickets and you kind of go, eh.
What's wrong with you?
It's bothersome.
It is bothersome because it's almost like...
You want somebody to feel like, you know, like, hey, this is a good deal.
Because sometimes people say, like, oh, man, I'm so happy that I won these because I wouldn't have gone otherwise. And then there's some people that are like, so it's only two? I'm like, yes, it's only two tickets. Is there any way I could get four? No, you're getting two tickets, sir.
We should put a rule in that if the person winning is rude, you can have the power to take the prize away from them.
No, you don't want that. I don't want that power.
There'd
be
lawsuits left and right.
Lawsuits, huh?
Yeah, people would be suing the Odyssey Palace for two lacrosse tickets.
I'm the keeper of the YouTube chat over here, so I have full authority of blocking people and banning people, is what they say. But yesterday there was someone just being weird in the chat, and so I was letting it go just because I don't want to just block people because it bothers me. But then when it started bothering our people, I was like, nah.
Yeah.
And I
think twice before you put something stupid in the chat.
Seriously.
Because not only do you look stupid, but understand that it affects a lot of different people who are in the chat and watching the show on YouTube.
Yeah.
So please think that through.
Please.
The Philadelphia Phillies organization has thought through Dollar Hot Dog Night.
That's amazing.
Now, here's the story. The Phillies, for the last 25 years, have had Hot Dog Night, and the hot dogs go for a dollar. Okay, so Dollar Hot Dog Night.
Oh, man, really needed to break that one down.
I know. Well, I was confused myself for a moment. The Phillies are ending the promotion. They are not going to do it anymore.
Is it a cash flow thing?
A statement from the team said the change was made, quote, based on the organization's ongoing commitment to provide a positive experience for all fans in attendance. So you ask, what wasn't positive about Dollar Dog Night? Here's your answer. Last year, stupid Philadelphia fans began chucking their hot dogs at players on the field and at other fans in the stadium.
Okay. I'm not laughing because it's stupid to do it to players, but...
Apparently, dogs were soaring around the stadium throughout the game last year on April the 11th. Ballpark Franks were being projectiled in several sections, some out on the field toward players, leading to multiple ejections. I love this story. It says, to be frank, the Phillies don't necessarily need the hot dog deal anymore to pack in crowds. That's true. They're one of the better teams. They got over 3 million fans last year. When they started the promotion 25 years ago, they were trying to boost ticket sales. But the Philly fans have, you know, look, the Philadelphia Philly fans, and I know a lot of people from Philadelphia. I play softball with a bunch of them on Thursday nights. I love them, but their fans are terrible. I mean, let's be honest. Philadelphia fans are terrible.
I'm not saying this.
I am.
I gave you it.
And I'm sorry. I mean, they're so bad that they got Dollar Hot Dog Night taken off the calendar because they couldn't help from throwing hot dogs at each other.
No, Chris. We all know the real reason behind this. They're not making any money on the dollar hot dogs, and they're like, we have a packed house now. We need to make money.
No, I disagree with you. I think they would still have it. They're going to have a two-for-one promotion, I think, later on.
But what's the difference between selling? I know it's a dollar hot dog, but...
Because a two-for-one, each hot dog's like $8.
I get that, but... Like,
so two-for-one isn't that great of a deal.
People could still go buy hot dogs and throw them.
Yeah, but you're not going to throw an $8 hot dog. You may throw a $1 hot dog.
They're the same hot dog.
But it's not the same price.
Would you be mad?
Here's another line in the story. This unpopular move may fail to cut the mustard with fans.
Oh, I love all these.
Yeah.
So I've told this on the show before, but in college, one of my friends was having a party, and the police were called. And so the police were trying to, like, clear out the party, and they told my friend, since you're hosting the party, you need to go and let everybody know they need to leave. So us friends went and helped them. So I'm yelling at the back saying, police want you to leave. And some dude threw a pizza at me, and it hit me in the face, Chris.
Oh, no.
And
did the police take action?
No, but the pepperoni hit me in the eye, and it really hurt. But my question is, what would you do if you were hit in the face by a hot dog at a baseball game?
I don't know. I'd probably go buy some ketchup and see if it, you know, I don't know.
You would be angry.
I would be a little upset. I don't understand these fans. Now, here's the thing in Philadelphia. The company Aramark that sells the hot dogs said that ahead of the 2022 World Series game, when the Phillies played the Astros, that one out of every three fans ate at least one hot dog at Citizens Bank Park.
Wow.
And an average of 7,000 hot dogs were sold per game.
Wow, that's a ton of hot dogs.
But there will be no more dollar hot dog night in Philadelphia because the fans could not contain themselves. I'm using the same joke that they used. Couldn't contain themselves, so... Sorry about that, Philly fans. When I first read the story, it said Philly's scrap dollar dog night. I thought that they were letting actual dogs in for a dollar. And they decided that the fans were so unruly and with the dogs that they weren't going to let them in. My idea was going to be to let the dogs in and just leave the fans at home.
Because
dogs behave better than fans.
You know, yes, they do. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Last year, the Phillies were on my bad side because they refused to let the man in with his emotional support alligator.
I recall.
I don't remember what the alligator's name was, but
maybe remember
Buddy
that
or
story.
Something.
The alligator's upset about this dollar dog night being discontinued.
Seriously.
He probably scooped up a bunch of wayward hot dogs.
Can you imagine? That would be an alligator's best life.
That would be a dream night for the alligator.
Just alligators been thrown, or alligators getting hot dogs thrown at him.
Come on, people. they're outlawing hot dog night. Do you know that when I was young, back in the mid brothers?
Oh, I'm sorry. The mid-20s?
At Yankee Stadium, they used to have on a Sunday afternoon in the middle of summer bat day. And everyone on their way into the ballpark at Yankee Stadium got a bat.
Not a replica bat, like a real bat?
A bat.
And no one beat each other with those in the crowd?
Can you even imagine in this day and age trying to have bat day at a ballpark?
But what
with what happens in the stands nowadays?
What has changed? I mean, honestly.
What has changed?
No,
do you see the videos of fans beating the snot out of each other all the time?
But why were we able to give bats away to people back then, but we can't give bats to people now? Are we just more unhinged now than we were back then? I can't.
I think you know the answer to that question.
All right, yes. The answer's yes.
We're far more unhinged.
Yes, the answer's yes.
I mean, it would be an utter catastrophe.
If they give away bats?
Bat night at Yankee Stadium?
I'm not going to that night.
If there was 40,000 people at the game, only 20,000 of the people would get out alive.
And Yankees fans seem like the worst people to be getting bats.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, though.
They have videos of Bat Day on YouTube if you're interested. They did have it.
And no one was injured, huh?
I can't. I don't know. I have to do a little research on that. But I recall a shot of them saying, all right, everybody wave your bats in the air. You know, and there's like a shot of all these bats waving around.
That's kind of cool until somebody hits somebody
in the head with it. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
All right, Scraby's got a great 30-mile zone. It's coming up next on Gwen and Chris. String cheese during the commercial breaks. What of it?
No, you don't just eat string cheese, Chris. You devour string cheese.
I do.
You devour it.
I told you, there's a promo that says I'm a pig. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, food and I don't get along, so I just eat it and, you know, get rid of it as quickly as I can.
Well, I think it's kind of strange you don't eat string cheese like string cheese is supposed to be eaten, which is in string form.
I think I do. I just do it quickly.
Okay.
And effectively.
On the
string
chat,
cheese doesn't stand a chance against me.
On the chat, Anthony said, Elo eats string cheese like a maniac.
All right. First of all, he's probably right. Second of all, you try eating any food on a camera that is basically shoved up your nostril by Scraby. It's hard to look too hip.
That's why I don't eat on camera.
Eating under those circumstances. Yeah, well, I thought that when we went to break that we went to break on the video as well.
We did. I was just maybe
you were a little late.
5 seconds by you.
I see.
And everybody saw you go.
Okay. You guys have your fun. I'm here to entertain in any way that I can. 3:39 is the time. Chris Ellen, Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr., broadcasted today's Padre game, a 5-3 Padre victory over the Oakland A's. Padres improved to 4-4 now in spring training play, but the game was played at some little league field at the A's own across town. No, it was
not even
real,
in Phoenix. It was somewhere on the outskirts.
It was so far away.
It's in Flagstaff.
Tony Gwynn Jr. is like not going to be heard from for days.
And they didn't give him the helicopter either.
No, he's got to make his way back to Peoria. So we may be able to hear from him a little later on, but we're not planning on it. Pedro Avila had pitched well today. Much better. 3 innings, allowed just 1 run. And the hitting star today are stars, Kyle Higashioka, 2 for 3 with a ribby. And Graham Pauly, 2 for 3 with a couple of RBIs. He had a 2-RBI triple to help the Padres win their third spring game in a row.
You can tell me that it doesn't matter, but I think it matters.
I don't think it matters, but I will say this. When they were 1-4, had they lost 3 more and gone to 1-7?
Would have made you a little nervous?
Not me, but me? Everybody out there would have been panicked.
Real quick with the string cheese.
Oh, come on.
Boogie says, I'm shocked he still has fingers after seeing that.
What's the old line? Keep your hands and arms away from his mouth.
Yeah, and then Chance says, leave him alone. He only had 2 minutes to eat his string cheese. So.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. I appreciate that. Chance, let's take a chance on some traffic now. And today's 30-mile zone.
That's not actually the answer there.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30-mile zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the open says it all, and we got a lot of stories, so I'm going to get right into it. And Chris, Shohei Ohtani is off the market. I don't know if you saw
this. Why are you telling me this? Was I interested?
I don't know. Are you? I mean,
no, I was not.
Okay, well,
why would I be interested?
Shohei Ohtani, I woke up to a push notification today from Major League Baseball saying he's married.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm not, this is, again, not a Shohei Ohtani bashing segment for me. I'm just tired of the Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani being shoved down my throat every time I look at my phone. But let's give Shohei his credit. I got to say, for a guy as famous as him and as big of an international superstar that he is, he kept this so quiet that no one had any idea that he was even in a serious relationship.
Good job, Shohei.
So he tied the knot, and he said today on Instagram that he did, and he said he's that he married someone from his native country of Japan who is very special to him, and he's excited for what is to come, and he thank you for the support. He also says that him, his wife, and his dog are going to have a family going forward together.
I hope that nothing but happiness for Shohei.
Yes.
I know you don't. You're hoping for some sort of issues to pop up here few months.
I don't care. I don't wish divorce upon Shohei Ohtani. I just don't want to see it on the MLB. It's almost making me feel like when NFL changed their bio on Instagram to like the Swiftie account or something. It just is like way too much. I get it. You want to pump up these guys, but pump up other players too. I haven't seen one thing from the Padres on MLB this year.
Do you care, though, if some no-name player gets married?
No.
Okay.
That's why I don't care about this.
Well, but Shohei's a public figure. He's one of the biggest names in sports.
I know. That's why I'm saying.
You like to know this stuff.
I don't really care that
much. You were interested in it enough to make it the lead story today on 30 Mile Zone. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Thank you.
Good point, Chris.
I thought it was a good
point. We'll move on. Now, the next story is Tom Brady. We were talking about the Combine earlier, the NFL Combine. It's going on right now. Chris and I have been watching the linemen.
I know, you've been watching it.
Watching the linemen run their 40-yard dashes, just stuff jiggling everywhere. But Tom Brady ran recently the 40-yard dash, and he was actually faster now than he was when he was 22 years old. He's 46 now,
okay.
And he put up the video, so you can see this everywhere on social media. But he said he wasn't sure if he could beat 5.28 seconds, and you know, he had two goes at this, and the first one was 5.18, and the second one was 5.12. So he's faster than he was at the age of 22. I mean, it's definitely impressive, but I don't know how impressed I am by this because it's Tom Brady. He's one of the most fit people on the planet.
He also has some of the best care of any person on the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean,
he's got nutritionists. He's got whatever he wants at his disposal. But still, I mean, he's 46 and he's running a 5.1240. So not bad, but Tom Brady is making the news for that. Now, Cowboys, here comes some of the dirty parts of the 30 Mile Zone. We have two paternity tests that we have to talk about.
Oh, boy.
Now, this first one is...
This is a little more serious than just fun and games.
And I want to take off my fun and games personality right now because this is sad. And it's sad for two reasons. One, because both these guys seem like they do not want to take responsibility for something that they should. And number two, they're making just a big deal out of it, and it's not good for the child itself. Well, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, he must take a paternity test, the judge ruled, because a 27-year-old woman is in the middle of a legal dispute with him because she says he is her biological father. He says that he is not. Texas judge yesterday rejected an appeal from Jerry Jones of that 2022 ruling, and he is now going to have to do that, and they're going to have to. It will prove whether or not he's actually the father of this woman. Oh, her name is Alexandra Davis.
That's not important to me. What is important to me is the reaction of Jerry Jones's wife. Does anybody check in with these people?
No.
I mean, that's the first thing I have to say.
Okay.
Secondly, I mean, honestly, if some judge ordered me to take a paternity test with some other woman, I would be sleeping on your couch for the rest of time. I don't understand these public figures. I mean, these kinds of things don't even matter. And the worst part of it is that, you know, Jerry Jones, I mean, I'm not trying to speak for Jerry Jones, but it seems to me Jerry Jones probably wants this to be negative. And if it's positive, right, that this child is his,
mm-hmm.
probably just send along a bunch of money.
Yeah, not care.
And wash his hands of it.
Yeah.
And not care about the future of an actual living, breathing human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the part that I struggle with.
I struggle with that, too. It's not good. I mean, this happened in the mid, or I guess Jerry met her mother in mid-1990 area.
Oh, then, really? So this young lady
she's 27 years old.
27 years old. Wow.
And she's been trying to...
Oh, I thought the woman he was taking the paternity test with is 27.
Oh, no.
Oh, all right.
No, this happened a long time
ago.
Okay, that's why his wife is not angry with him, but...
Why wouldn't she be?
Because
cares when it happened.
This probably happened before they even met. I don't know that, but I would assume.
All right,
it's
go ahead.
A long time.
Anyway.
But, I mean, that's the original settlement allegedly called for Jones to pay Cynthia Davis, the mother, $375, and for Alexandra Davis to receive a certain monthly, annual, and special funding from a trust until she was 21, and then 24 and 26 and 28 were the payments. But now she's going after... millions of dollars. I guess attorneys for Jones said that she has already received millions of dollars. But anyway, this is kind of a mess, and it's very sad. So,
how about receiving any of Jerry Jones's time and tender care?
No,
as a father.
Well, no, his
time. How much of that happened?
His time and tender care is here's my attorneys. Let's go get this tied up in court.
No kidding, man. That's the thing that really irks me. And I'm not a huge Jerry Jones fan in the first place, but this kind of stuff gets swept under the rug so easily. And now the only good news for Jerry Jones in this is that
yes, he has company because your guy Chris Tyreek
Hill. Not my
guy.
I've told you many times that I struggle to root for this guy on a Sunday afternoon.
And let me ask you a real question. Is it becoming more and more and more difficult?
Yes, it is.
Well, because
it wouldn't bother me if the Dolphins just shipped him out and brought in another good receiver. It really wouldn't. It wouldn't bother me in any way. I know how good he is, but he's a good football player. He might even be a great football player. He's no better than a lousy human being.
He's not, yeah. There's just so much stuff that surrounds him, and he has a couple paternity tests going on, but...
it's like, he's got a weekly standing appointment with the paternity doctor?
Maury Povich just has a place in his house, but here it is. Brittany Lackner filed a paternity test against Hill, saying he was the father of her son that was born in February of 2023, so a year ago. The parties agree and acknowledge that Tyreek Hill is the natural and biological father of the child, but he settled with her out of court, and so we don't really know what the settlement was all about, but there it is again. We're talking about a settlement, Chris.
Yeah, we're not talking about Tyreek Hill, as far as we know, even wanting to be part of the youngster's life.
And here's what her lawyers are saying.
Maybe it's probably, with Tyreek Hill, it might be better for this young person to not have to deal with Tyreek Hill as a father.
Maybe, but no.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you're saying lousy father's better than no father?
No, not necessarily saying that either.
Because I'm not saying, I don't think Tyreek Hill would be too
here's
awesome.
What her lawyers are saying about the whole thing in their court filing, saying that Hill had, quote, demonstrated utter and abject unconcern for the child and wholly failing to act as a parent and is completely failing to support the child.
Tyreek Hill fails in everything.
Really bothers me.
Tyreek Hill fails in absolutely everything except for running and catching footballs.
I can't disagree there.
And for that, he is a multi-gazillionaire and applauded blindly all over the world.
I mean, anytime that you have... I get that famous people get targeted sometimes, but anytime that you have multiple paternity cases open, and you also now have a lawsuit against you from a woman saying that you were angry with her because she showed you up in an offensive line blocking drill, and then you broke her leg. Like, that's also on the table for Tyreek Hill. And he just goes on like, this is...
What isn't on the table for Tyreek Hill?
And his podcast,
honestly,
this bothers me about his
podcast. I mean, he also was sued for beating some girlfriend up a few years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, enough with this guy already. The Miami Dolphins aren't going to win the Super Bowl anyway.
Move him out
and get somebody else in there as a decent human being. Please.
Fortunately, that's not how the NFL works, Chris.
I know. I agree. And when he catches his first pass on opening day, I'll be have a
hesitate.
Warm and fuzzy feeling
I
inside.
I think he'll hesitate to cheer a little bit.
You know?
All right. Now, a Kansas City Chiefs super fan accused of robbing banks across the country has pleaded guilty and could face decades in prison. Xavier Batabar, better known as the wolf suit wearing Chiefsaholic, has pleaded guilty to three charges. Chiefsaholic. One count of he's like a big Chiefs guy who dresses up like a wolf at the games. He's being charged with one count of money laundering, one count of transporting stolen property across state lines, and one count of bank robbery in Oklahoma. That is going to put him in prison for a very long time. The 29-year-old originally pleaded not guilty to 19 charges, so this is what he's facing now. Now, he did, according to the investigation, he did use the money that he stole to pay for tickets to Chiefs games and travel and betting on games. But really what people are talking about in this whole thing is how his lawyer, how his lawyer presented everything to everyone when he spoke to the media.
Okay.
So here it is, and it's just pay attention to the words he's using.
From the beginning of this case, folks, the government has been blitzing, and Xavier's pocket was collapsing. But today, Xavier stepped into the pressure. He took responsibility for his actions. He stood up in court, humble and repentant, and admitted what he had done. Now, if I know anything about Xavier, and if the Chiefs Kingdom knows anything about Chiefsaholic, we know that he doesn't give up.
All right, I don't really care to hear the rest of that.
I don't
want to
hear any more of this.
But everybody's like, dude.
So he stood up and acknowledged the fact that he's robbed multiple banks?
But then used a bunch of football puns.
I understand that. We're supposed to honor this guy, apparently. Maybe opening night at the Chiefs game this year, they ought to honor him at halftime for being such a terrific person and coming clean.
No, he cut off his ankle monitor and fled to California, and that's where they actually found him. But everybody's like, dude, lawyer, you're not making yourself look very good with this whole thing right now.
So. Yeah, let's throw Xavier away and, you know what, put a little side room available for his lawyer, too, just for being
his lawyer, too.
I can't. These lawyers crack me up.
That's basically it. There was one more that I had, and it would be how did I forget Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Well, why don't you get him at the right after the top of the hour?
All right, we have to. You have to stick around.
Kareem. It's not Kareem.
Yeah,
it's Kareem.
Yeah,
Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes, yes.
Before we get to the top of the hour, I want to wish a happy 6th birthday out there to Indiana Pacers star guard Tyrese Halliburton.
6th birthday?
Yes, he was born on this day, 2000.
All right.
This is only the 6th February 29th that he has seen. He's actually, obviously, 24, but happy leap year to everybody today.
His day, the birthday doesn't actually exist. Except for every 4 years.
That's what I'm saying. So he's 6 years old today. Congratulations to Tyrese.
I actually got into a conversation this morning about birthdays on leap days. Like, do they count? Kind of thing. Like,
there
how
you
do you count them?
Anyways. All right. So happy 6th, Tyrese. You're a hell of a good player for 6 years old. I'll say that. All right. We'll come back. Chris versus the fans is next. Stick around.
That's not actually the answer there.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30 Mile Zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the open says it all, and we got a lot of stories, so I'm going to get right into it. And Chris, Shohei Ohtani is off the market. I don't know if you saw
this.
Why
are you telling me this? Was I interested?
I don't know. Are you? I mean,
no, I was not.
Okay, well.
Why would I be interested?
Shohei Ohtani, I woke up to a push notification today from Major League Baseball saying, he's married!
Uh-oh.
And so I'm not, this is, again, not a Shohei Ohtani bashing segment for me. I'm just tired of the Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani being shoved down my throat every time I look at my phone. But let's give Shohei his credit. I gotta say, for a guy as famous as him, and as big of an international superstar that he is, he kept this so quiet that no one had any idea that he was even in a serious relationship.
Good job, Shohei.
So he tied the knot, and he said today on Instagram that he did, and he said he's that he married someone from his native country of Japan who is very special to him, and he's excited for what is to come, and he thank you for the support. He also says that him, his wife, and his dog are going to have a family going forward together.
I hope that nothing but happiness for Shohei.
Yes.
I know you don't. You're hoping for some sort of issues to pop up here few months.
God, I don't care. I don't wish divorce upon Shohei Ohtani. I just don't want to see it on the MLB. It's almost making me feel like when NFL changed their bio on Instagram to like the Swifty account or something. It just is like way too much. I get it. You want to pump up these guys, but pump up other players too. I haven't seen one thing from the Padres on MLB this year.
Some no-name player gets married?
No.
Okay.
That's why I don't care about this.
But Shohei's a public figure. He's one of the biggest names in sports.
I know. That's why I'm saying.
You like to know this stuff.
I don't really care that
much. You were interested in it enough to make it the lead story today on 30 Mile Zone. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Thank you.
Good point, Chris.
I thought it was a good
point. We'll move on. Now, the next story is Tom Brady. We were talking about the Combine earlier, the NFL Combine. It's going on right now. Chris and I have been watching the linemen.
I know, you've been watching it.
Watching the linemen run their 40-yard dashes, just stuff jiggling everywhere. But Tom Brady ran recently the 40-yard dash, and he was actually faster now than he was when he was 22 years old. He's 46 now,
okay.
And he put up the video, so you can see this everywhere on social media. But he said he wasn't sure if he could beat 5.28 seconds, and you know, he had two goes at this, and the first one was 5.18, and the second one was 5.12. So he's faster than he was at the age of 22. I mean, it's definitely impressive, but I don't know how impressed I am by this because it's Tom Brady. He's one of the most fit people on the planet.
He also has some of the best care of any person on the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean,
he's got nutritionists. He's got whatever he wants at his disposal. But still, I mean, he's 46 and he's running a 5.1240. So not bad, but Tom Brady is making the news for that. Now, Cowboys. Okay, here comes some of the dirty parts of the 30-mile zone. We have two paternity tests that we have to talk about.
Oh, boy.
Now, this first one is...
This is a little more serious than just fun and games.
And I want to take off my fun and games personality right now because this is sad. And it's sad for two reasons. One, because both these guys seem like they do not want to take responsibility for something that they should. And number two, they're making just a big deal out of it, and it's not good for the child itself. Well, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, he must take a paternity test, the judge ruled, because a 27-year-old woman is in the middle of a legal dispute with him because she says he is her biological father. He says that he is not. Texas judge yesterday rejected an appeal from Jerry Jones of that 2022 ruling, and he is now going to have to do that, and they're going to have to, it will prove whether or not he's actually the father of this woman. Oh, her name is Alexandra Davis.
That's not important to me. What is important to me is the reaction of Jerry Jones's wife. Does anybody check in with these people?
No.
I mean, that's the first thing I have to say.
Okay.
Secondly, I mean, honestly, if some judge ordered me to take a paternity test with some other woman, I would be sleeping on your couch for the rest of time. I don't understand these public figures. I mean, these kinds of things don't even matter. And the worst part of it is that, you know, Jerry Jones, I mean, I'm not trying to speak for Jerry Jones, but seems to me Jerry Jones probably wants this to be negative. And if it's positive, right, that this child is his,
mm-hmm.
probably just send along a bunch of money.
Yeah, not care.
And wash his hands of it.
Yeah.
And not care about the future of an actual living, breathing human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the part that I struggle with.
I struggle with that too. It's not good. I mean, this happened in the mid, or I guess Jerry met her mother in mid 1990 area.
Oh, then, really? So this young lady
is 27 years old.
27 years old. Wow.
And she's been trying to.
Oh, I thought the woman he was taking the paternity test with is 27.
Oh, no.
Oh, all right.
No, this happened a long time
ago. Okay,
I got you. Why his wife is not angry with him. But
why wouldn't she be?
Because
this happened, when it happened.
This probably happened before they even met. I don't know that, but I would assume.
All right,
it's
go ahead.
A long time. Anyway. But, I mean, that's the original settlement allegedly called for Jones to pay Cynthia Davis, the mother, $375, and for Alexandra Davis to receive a certain monthly, annual, and special funding from a trust until she was 21, and then 24 and 26 and 28 were the payments. But now she's going after millions of dollars. I guess attorneys for Jones said that she has already received millions of dollars. But anyway, this is kind of a mess, and it's very sad. So
how about receiving any of Jerry Jones's time and tender care?
No,
as father.
Well, no, his
how much of that happened?
His time and tender care is, here's my attorneys. Let's go get this tied up in court.
No kidding, man. That's the thing that really irks me. And you know, I'm not a huge Jerry Jones fan in the first place, but this kind of stuff gets swept under the rug so easily. And now the only good news for Jerry Jones in this is that
yes, he has company, because your guy, Chris, Tyreek Hill.
I've told you many times that I struggle to root for this guy on a Sunday afternoon.
And let me ask you a real question. Is it becoming more and more and more difficult?
Yes, it is.
Well, because
It wouldn't bother me if the Dolphins just shipped him out and brought in another good receiver. It really wouldn't. It wouldn't bother me in any way. I know how good he is, but,
but
he's a good football player. He might even be a great football player. He's no better than a lousy human being.
He's not, yeah. There's just so much stuff that surrounds him, and he has a couple paternity tests going on, but
it's like, what, has he got a weekly standing appointment with the paternity doctor?
Maury Povich just has a place in his house, but here it is. Brittany Lackner filed a paternity test against Hill, saying he was the father of her son that was born in February of 2023, so a year ago. The parties agree and acknowledge that Tyreek Hill is the natural and biological father of the child, but he settled with her out of court. And so we don't really know what the settlement was all about. But there it is again. We're talking about a settlement, Chris.
Yeah, we're not talking about Tyreek Hill, as far as we know, even wanting to be part of the youngster's life.
And here's what her lawyers are saying.
You know what? With Tyreek Hill, it might be better for this young person to not have to deal with Tyreek Hill as a father.
Maybe, but no.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you're saying lousy father's better than no father?
No, not necessarily saying that either.
Because I'm not saying, I don't think Tyreek Hill would be too
here's
awesome.
What her lawyers are saying about the whole thing in their court filing, saying that Hill had, quote, demonstrated utter and abject unconcern for the child and wholly failing to act as a parent and is completely failing to support the child.
That Tyreek Hill fails in everything.
Really bothers me.
Tyreek Hill fails in absolutely everything except for running and catching footballs.
I can't disagree there.
And for that, he is a multi-gazillionaire and applauded blindly all over the world.
I mean, anytime that you have, I get that famous people get targeted sometimes, but anytime that you have multiple paternity cases open, and you also now have a lawsuit against you from a woman saying that you were angry with her because she showed you up in an offensive line blocking drill, and then you broke her leg. Like, that's also on the table for Tyreek Hill. And he just goes on like, this is...
What isn't on the table for Tyreek Hill?
In his podcast,
honestly,
this bothers me about his
podcast. I mean, he also was sued for beating some girlfriend up a few years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, enough with this guy already. The Miami Dolphins aren't going to win the Super Bowl anyway, you know?
Well,
so
you know,
move him out and get somebody else in there as a decent human being. Please.
Fortunately, that's not how the NFL works, Chris.
I know. I agree. And when he catches his first pass on opening day, I'll be have a warm and fuzzy feeling
inside.
I think
you'll hesitate to cheer a little bit.
You know?
All right. Now, a Kansas City Chiefs super fan accused of robbing banks across the country has pleaded guilty and could face decades in prison. Xavier Batabar, better known as the wolf suit wearing Chiefsaholic, has pleaded guilty to three charges. Chiefsaholic. One count of he's like a big Chiefs guy who dresses up like a wolf at the games. He's being charged with one count of money laundering, one count of transporting stolen property across state lines, and one count of bank robbery in Oklahoma. That is going to put him in prison for a very long time. The 29-year-old originally pleaded not guilty to 19 charges, so this is what he's facing now. Now, he did, according to the investigation, he did use the money that he stole to pay for tickets to Chiefs games and travel and betting on games. But really what people are talking about in this whole thing is how his lawyer, how his lawyer presented everything to everyone when he spoke to the media.
Okay.
So here it is, and it's just pay attention to the words he's using.
From the beginning of this case, folks, the government has been blitzing, and Xavier's pocket was collapsing. But today, Xavier stepped into the pressure. He took responsibility for his actions. He stood up in court, humble and repentant, and admitted what he had done. Now, if I know anything about Xavier, and if the Chiefs kingdom knows anything about Chiefsaholic, we know that he doesn't give up.
All right, I don't really care to hear the rest of that.
I don't
want to
hear any more of this.
But everybody's like, dude.
So he stood up and acknowledged the fact that he's robbed multiple banks?
But then used a bunch of football puns.
I understand that. We're supposed to honor this guy, apparently. Maybe opening night at the Chiefs game this year, they ought to honor him at halftime for being such a terrific person and coming clean.
No, he cut off his ankle monitor and fled to California, and that's where they actually found him. But everybody's like, dude, lawyer, you're not making yourself look very good with this whole thing right now.
So. Yeah, let's throw Xavier away and, you know what, put a little side room available for his lawyer, too, just for being
his lawyer, too.
I can't. These lawyers crack me up.
That's basically it. There was one more that I had, and it would be how did I forget Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Well, why don't you get him at the right after the top of the hour?
All right, we have to. You have to stick around for Kareem.
It's not Kareem.
Yeah.
It's Kareem.
Yeah.
Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
Before we get to the top of the hour, I want to wish a happy 6th birthday out there to Indiana Pacers star guard Tyrese Halliburton.
6th birthday?
Yes, he was born on this day, 2000.
All right.
This is only the 6th, February 29th, that he has seen. He's actually, obviously, 24, but happy leap year to everybody today.
His day, the birthday doesn't actually exist. Except for every 4 years.
That's what I'm saying. So he's 6 years old today. Congratulations to Tyrese.
I actually got into a conversation this morning about birthdays on leap days. Like, do they count kind of thing? Like,
there
how
you
count them?
Anyways. All right. So happy 6th, Tyrese. You're a hell of a good player for 6 years old. I'll say that. All right. We'll come back. Chris versus the fans is next. Stick around.